Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and this is part 2 of 2. But I'll tell you this too, and we're going to move on. God has ordained government to use a sword against evil. There's a lot of people, including Christians today, are almost anarchists. God has ordained government, and the only time you have to worry about it is A, if you're doing something evil, or B, tyranny. And in the case of B, you have permission to shoot back.
Amen.
Amen. You're to obey man as long as man doesn't require you to disobey God.
Amen.
But the moment tyranny demands you disobey God, you can ignore it.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 13:4 says, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." And this, to you libertarian extremists out there, he's the minister of God.
Amen.
When a cop is doing his job correctly, he's as much a minister as any of us pastors.
That's right.
Amen.
And you should show as much respect, and you should thank him. And just like your pastor, buy him a donut. And you want to feel good? Go into Tim Hortons. You see a cop up there and walk up and tell a guy, say, "Hey, I want to buy his donut and his drink." And then they look at you and say, "Well, he's actually having a salad." What kind of cop is he? Okay, well, I'll buy the salad then. Do it. You can do that for your military men too.
Mm-hmm.
See a guy in uniform? Buy it. Yeah. See, I know it's been kind of rough, but right there, didn't you get the nice little willy? Feel good? Isn't that a feel good? See, it's not all just fire and brimstone. Every once in a while, we say something that makes you feel good. Amen? God refers to His word. Back to the fire and brimstone.
Yes.
God refers to His word as a what?
Sword.
As well, because the sword of the Spirit is our spiritual what?
Weapon.
It's not just... Listen. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but they didn't use the sword for defense. That was the shield.
Amen.
And a lot of Christians have the shield, but never wield the sword. Because it might hurt someone's feelings. Have a guy come in church and tell me he's leaving his wife, doesn't have any biblical grounds for doing so. And wants me to say, "That's okay, as long as you come in here and put your butt in the pew and give us some money, I'll be happy." Because that's what most preachers tell you.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, that's wicked. You need to repent and go back to your wife."
Amen.
And he never came back. That's how I said it. I was nice about it. Some of you may doubt that I'm able to do that, but I am very able to be nice. But I could fill up those pews with the names of people who walked out of here because I simply told them the truth.
Amen.
And you know what I said? I don't want them to leave. I want them to repent. Jesus said, "If he repent, forgive him." But that means if he don't repent, he needs to leave. She needs to go. And so good riddance. Because I'm out to please the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
We're not out to please men.
Right.
Now, if you're pleased with the Lord's pleasures, then I'll please you and we'll all get along.
Amen.
Or, if I ever get out of line, and you can quote the Apostle Paul and not your grandma, I'm correctable, but it just has to be biblical. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it says, in the sword of the Spirit, which is what?
The word of God.
And it makes it real simple for you. When you think of the sword of the Spirit, you should think of the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's why some of you may... I told one of the young ladies back there, you have your sword with you.
Amen.
So get used to that. You'll hear that. From Bible-believing Christians, they look at you with a Bible and they think, ooh, look at that blade on that thing. Nice leather, look at that. Genuine leather Bible. Ooh, let me smell that. We don't worship these things, but we sure love it. Amen?
Amen.
I love my Bible.
I
love it. Yeah, I love my Bible because some of you, John and Doug back there, could probably read that, can't you? That's my Bible. Moab, mother of all Bibles. Amen. Some of you read in ESV, you're fighting with a butter knife.
Amen.
It's plastic, not even real. Amen. NIV, any of these new ones. That's what you're trying to fight with a butter knife. Or if you're using the Book of Mormon or one of these other things, you're fighting with a wet noodle. It's not even worth a butter knife. I did. Amish noodles. And just as a footnote from the translation that we call the Mess, also known as the Message, that's the consultant down there in the right corner. This is the fellow who put it out, Eugene Peterson, who last week or 2 weeks ago said, oh, you know, this whole gay thing is out overblown. He said, I know homosexuals that are just as spiritual as I am. And if they ask me to do a gay wedding, I'll do it. But then they said, Eugene, you're going to lose a lot of money because of that. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And he went and apologized. Yeah. Said, well, I misspoke. Cha-ching. You serve mammon rather than God. That's how you act. Yeah. You put out perverted Bibles, make millions of dollars, and then when you stand by your perverted convictions and you see it's going to cost you some money, you backtrack. Yeah. Typical politician. That's why they hate Donald Trump. He won't act like a politician. That's why they hate Rand Paul. He won't act like a politician. You find anybody, even some of the liberals like Bernie Sanders, give him credit. He doesn't just tell people he's a nut, he's a socialist, but at least he stands by his convictions. Amen?
Amen.
To some extent. Here's what the Mess says. In the previous verses we read, I just had to share this. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Now, you may not know, but that's supposed to be the Bible.
Wow.
It's supposed to be verses 15, 16 that we read when we started our study.
Okay.
That's not a sword, folks.
Oh.
Just got to bring that out. If you're English, get yourself a King James sword.
Amen.
If you're Spanish, we've got the RVG waiting on you. 2010 from Gomez. If you want to use the old 1865, Valera, I don't know Spanish. I'm not going to argue with you. I just know the ones in between 1865 and 2010 were the ESV in Spanish, so you don't want those.
No.
Amen? And then there's other translations. If you speak some other language, let me know, and I'll call somebody. But new versions are garbage. Amen?
Amen.
That's the bottom line. They came from perverted translators using a perverted bad text called Codex Vaticanus, and they are filled with perversion.
Amen.
And you want to know why all the churches are dying? Go look in their pews and see what their Bible is. And there's some who have only recently started the death gurgle. And it started when they went away from the King James Bible. And you're watching them slow die, slow death. And the only reason there's some life in them is because some of the people in the pews don't stand by their convictions. They believe the King James Bible, but they sit right there and fund apostasy. Pay the bills for the preacher who's taken their church away from the truth.
Wow.
And I've seen that in 30 years. I've seen it dozens of times, and it'll happen dozens more because we're in the beginnings of Laodicea when people will not take a stand. And most
Christian men are jellyfish without a spine.
Amen.
True.
Amen.
Yeah, there's a lot of men don't like me. And they don't like me because I've got a spine and they don't.
Amen.
I'm just telling you.
Amen.
And I want it that way. And if you're here today and you like me, I hope it's because you believe, you see, and you agree, you're getting the Word of God, and you know I'm not wearing a skirt behind this pulpit. Amen. Get yourself a sword.
Amen.
Now, we're going to look at a description here in Hebrews 4. We're going to close up with a couple of readings here in Hebrews. So go to Hebrews chapter 4. And when we read that, beginning of verse 12, we'll flip over to verse 5 or chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And then we're going to chapter 5 for a reading, and then we'll close. But this is a description of the sword of the Spirit and how it works. Hebrews 4. And this will work on you when you read the Word of God, but it also works on those that you preach the Word of God to.
Four.
Hebrews chapter 4, beginning verse 12. Hebrews 4, beginning verse 12. Read verse 12 with me. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how it works. When it says quick, it means it's alive. It's not dead. The Bible says Jesus will judge the quick and the dead. He's talking about those who are alive at His return, as well as those who have died. And the Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Look what it does. Surgery. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, it cuts. If you're not reading your Bible from cover to cover, and all you do is ever read these fuzzy little devotionals, even if you've got a King James Bible, you're not letting the sword do its surgery.
Amen.
You need to read the whole book.
Amen.
And there's times where you might think it's a little boring. Next time you read it, it'll be less boring. The time after that, it's less boring. Until finally, you'll even look forward to genealogies.
Yep.
Amen.
It'll happen.
Amen.
It'll do surgery. It says, of the joints and marrow. If you don't know what that means, do a little scientific anatomy study.
Mm-hmm.
That's cutting, brother.
Boy.
And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That means that if you're honest when you're reading this book, there's times where you're going to be smacked in the face.
Amen.
And you're going to say, whoa, this is kind of against me here.
Yeah.
So what do? Close it. Just turn on the TV. No. You pray and say, Lord, change me.
Amen.
Don't go find another version. Change your Bible. Say, Lord, change me.
Amen.
I need an attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
I need to change my opinion to make it fit, conform to what I'm reading right here in your Word.
Mm-hmm.
Same things happen when I'm preaching. I am here to tell you, I do not preach at you. I don't know your personal life. I don't want to know your personal life. Don't come up here and tell me your personal life. I mean, it's fine to have some chit-chat and everything, but I don't want to know all your sins and all your hang-ups and all that. You can ask for prayer and I'll pray for you. I don't even have to know specifics. I'm not Father Greg. Don't come up and confessing your sins to me. But I'm up here preaching and I've hit people without knowing it and they've come up afterwards to chew me out. Like someone told me what they were doing and I needed to step on their toes. And then I say, I had no idea. I'm not preaching at you. It's one thing I got going for me, Brother Chad. We're expository. I don't pick and choose what I'm going to preach.
Amen.
We start at the beginning and go to the end.
Hallelujah.
If I'm hitting you along the way, then repent.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because let me let you in on something. Every once in a while, I hit me. Usually it's when I'm studying. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to get right or I ain't going to be able to preach this. There's something wrong here. I got to get this fixed. None of us have arrived, folks.
Amen.
So when something hits you, don't be a rebellious little punk and look away from God. And look at me when I'm talking to you. Amen. Amen, Dan. Let that book do its surgery. It's spirit. It'll work on you. Amen. Oh, I want to read one more verse. Verse 13. Read that with me. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we had to do. Now, I want you to look at that, because I read that probably a dozen times before a preacher pointed out something that I was totally missing. In verse 12, what are we talking about? The Word of God? Look what it says in verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in that book's sight. His. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him. It's talking about that book that you have in your hands as a person.
Amen.
Because it's the Word of God. And there's some spiritual level that we can't even really grasp totally. But I know this. This book is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Those words are in this book.
Amen.
It's an amazing book. It's so amazing that none of us are successful in our attempts to explain it.
Amen.
But that book is alive.
Amen.
Really something amazing if you let that dawn on you and sink in, and you'll see the Bible like you've never seen it before.
Amen.
But again, this hinges on our receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. We talked about that before.
Amen.
It's the Word of God. It's not a man-made book. And when you go out and preach the gospel, you face people all the time who, because they reject this book as the Word of God, you're preaching to a brick wall. All you can do is preach the gospel, give them a gospel tract, pray for them.
Amen.
Let the Holy Spirit work on them. In our study of the girdle of the truth, you remember we discussed the detrimental effect of this thing called relativism, where people say they don't believe in absolute truth. All truth is relative. Well, a related threat undermining biblical faith in the Word of God is this thing called subjectivism. And that is that your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. We can't say that my truth is true and yours isn't. We just have to agree to disagree that all truth is subjective, not objective. And it's found in the in cults and things, and like existentialism, you'll hear people speak in these terms. Philosophy is basically subjectivism. And that's why when you talk to people, if they're giving you their reasoning, but they're not giving you the Word of God, you just look at them and say, listen, that's not Bible, that's philosophy. Calvinists do it. We had it with a conversation with a couple of Calvinists a couple of weeks ago. And their comments were all philosophical. That they believe God should be this way if He's God, and therefore this and that have to be true. And I said, that's philosophy. The Bible says that God has said that if you believe the gospel, you'll be saved. That God has told us to preach the gospel to every living creature, and that whosoever will can be saved. Therefore, I believe that I can preach the gospel and anybody who will can be saved.
Amen. Amen.
But if you start philosophizing, it becomes subjective, and then you become a Calvinist or a charismatic or Buddhist. It's hard to tell where you end up. Subjectivism is a theory that limits knowledge to subjective experience. So people think it's all about me and what I think and what I feel and what I've experienced. I'm just not going to linger, but I'm just going to tell you this. Rip that out of your head and your heart and subject yourself to this book alone.
Amen.
God's Word is the authority, not our experience. That's why when you're talking about charismatics, they always want to say, well, my grandma used to speak in tongues all the time. And I go to church where everybody speaks in tongues. And this is what I experience. And my experiences are this. And my experience is that. So? I'm sorry, but I'm not basing what I believe on your experience or my experience.
Amen.
It's what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And then experiences follow, and if they're in conformity to the Word of God, that's great. But you know where experiences have led some professing Christians? I don't know whether they're saved or not. Only God knows. But they claim to be a Christian. Next thing you know, they see a ghost in their room. And then they contact a spirit guide. And then they get involved in necromancy. And the next thing you know, they're totally out of and away from God.
Yeah.
Led there by their experience.
Yeah.
But if they had been committed to this book, that spirit, they would have said, I know that you're not of God. And in the name of Jesus, I reject and rebuke you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And then just pray and ask God to remove that thing, that spirit, whatever it is. And that's the end of it.
Amen.
Because you know, according to the Word of God, that thing, if it is a real thing, and it isn't because you ate beef brisket too late at night, but you are seeing something, then it's a devil.
Amen.
If it's there and it's real, it's a devil. It's not your Aunt Gertrude.
Amen.
Or whoever it says it is. Don't go by experience. Psalm 119, 169 says, Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, and give me understanding according to what?
Thy word.
Amen. Satan's power will finally be defeated by the sword of the Spirit. You understand that? The very source of the words in this book at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, Revelation 19:21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him, the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth.
Amen.
And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. He is going to speak and defeat the Antichrist.
Amen.
And it's the same source of the words you have right here in this book.
Amen.
In the meantime, question for you personally. You've seen the power of this book and the potential for spiritual strength and power that you have because of this book and the Spirit of God behind it. Are you still on milk? Or are you skillful in your use of God's Word? I come across guys all the time, and I don't say much about it. I just pray for them. But they'll talk like they think they are some spiritual thing, and they critical of me and or of our church or ministry. And when I talk to them, they do not know God's Word at all.
Yeah.
One guy, I was standing there talking to him, and he was Mr. Know-It-All, and I asked him to turn. I said, turn to this and read that. He didn't even know where that was. Couldn't he started going to the index to find the book. You say, well, I have to do that. Don't be ashamed. Get busy.
Amen.
I'm not telling you to be ashamed. I'm saying, where are you right now? And start studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
Amen.
And then you'll learn not only to read it and to know where the books are, but then you'll rightly divide it.
Amen.
And that'll keep you from error.
Amen.
See, some of you might think I'm pointing at you. I don't know whether you know the books of the Bible and can find your way around. I'm telling you that should be your goal.
Amen.
Know the book. Amen?
Amen?
So in closing, turn over to Hebrews 5. If you kept your finger there, as I said, you just turn over a page maybe. Hebrews 5 verse 12. Again, verse 12. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. I'm going to read verse 12 myself. Listen. For the time you ought to be teachers. That means you ought to be able to teach your loved ones, your friends, your co-workers, the people you're around. You ought to be teachers. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. If you don't read your Bible the way you ought to, and you don't go to a church that teaches the Bible, or they teach a false version of the Bible, or if they teach it and they're not of sound doctrine.
Yeah.
Any and all of the above will leave you like an infant still needing to suck on a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
Read verse 13 with me. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And that's you this morning. if you're not skillful in the Word, recognize that you're still a babe in Christ, and then stop being silly and just do the things you need to do. That's it. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm your friend right now. I'm just telling you. Start, find a way to spend time in His Word. Start coming to church more often if you're not coming to church just the way you ought to. If you're on the internet, stop watching these nutcase YouTubers that are teaching all this crazy garbage, and go on our website and watch the studies that we've got. We've got how many now? We're over like 1,200 studies. It'd take you 600 hours to watch everything we've got on the internet, and then by the time you get there, we're going to have another couple hundred hours up there. God's provided that to you if you have internet access free of charge.
Amen.
And I'm just saying, it's just crazy. I get these emails from people and they don't grow, they don't grow. I hear from them a year later, no growth. And they don't go to the website and watch the studies. They're busy watching all the nutcases on TV and on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
And they'll be right there again in another year or two. And then some people just don't try and they don't read anything, they don't watch anything, and they're just kind of like a... You know, everybody's a part of the body of Christ, but we've got way too many moles and skin tags.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Christians who are moles and skin tags on the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing anything but sitting there like a wart.
Amen.
I don't want that to be me, and I hope you don't want that to be you.
Amen.
Read verse 14 with me. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. Let's turn to page 253 in our hymn book. And this is between you and the Lord. If you have strayed away from your relationship with Him the way it ought to be, if you're unsaved this morning, obviously you need to be saved. Christ died for your sins. He shed His blood and paid the full price. He was buried and rose again the third day and conquered sin and death. Whatever it is you're holding on to today, your false beliefs, your sin, whatever it is, repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be saved right now. If you are saved and you're a brand new Christian, then this is just to tell you that you shouldn't just sit there and stay on milk. Grow in the Word. Grow and grow. And you may have been a Christian for years now, and you just haven't grown. And part of that could be the fact you didn't have a good church, or you didn't have a good teaching to sit under, or whatever. But you have to take responsibility for some of that yourself. How much time did you spend in the Word? How much time did you spend with the Lord? And so right now in your heart, you can, just between you and the Lord, you can mean these words as we sing. You're coming home. You're going to get right. You're going to stay right. You're going to serve the Lord. You're going to let Him to help you grow up as a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me, if you can. Sing 253. Lord, I'm coming home.
I wonder if I...